Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, Text 24. Evam gunar brahmyamane manasi avikalak human yati tatsamyatam badre yalinga lingavan eva. Evam gunar brahmyamane Manasivikalakpuman Yati tatsam yatam bhadre Yalinga lingavaniva Evam. In this way, gunai, by the modes of material nature, brahmyamane, when shaken, manasi, the mind, avikalak, changeless, puman, the living entity, yati, approaches, tatsamyatam, the same condition of agitation as the mind, bhadre, O my gentle mother. He, indeed, alinga, without a subtle or gross body, lingavan, possessing a material body, eva, as if. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. In the same way, O my gentle mother, when the mind is agitated by the movements of the modes of material nature, the living entity, although freed from all the different phases of the subtle and gross bodies, thinks that he has changed from one condition to another. Purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.84.13, Yasyatma buddhi kunupe tridatuke svadhi kalatradishu bom ijadi. Yat tirta buddhi shalili nakar hichij janeshu abhageshu saeva gokara. A human being who identifies the body made of three elements as the self, who considers the byproducts of the body to be his kinsmen, who considers the land of his birth worshipable, and who goes to a place of pilgrimage simply to bathe rather than to meet men of transcendental knowledge there, is to be considered like a cow or an ass. Although Hiranyakashipu was a great demon, he was not as foolish as the population of the modern world. Hiranyakashipu had clear knowledge of the spirit soul and the subtle and gross bodies. But now we are so degraded that everyone, including the exalted scientists, philosophers, and other leaders, is under the bodily conception of life, which is condemned in the Shastras. Saeva Gokara. Such persons are nothing but cows and asses. Hiranyakashipu advised his family members that although the gross body of his brother, Hiranyaksha, was dead, and they were aggrieved because of this, they should not lament for the great soul of Hiranyaksha, who had already attained his next destination. Atma, the spirit soul, is always unchanged, avikalak puman. We are spirit souls, but when carried away by mental activities, manodharma, we suffer from so-called material conditions of life. This generally happens to non-devotees, harava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna. Non-devotees may possess exalted material qualities, but because they are foolish, they have no good qualifications. The designations of the conditioned soul in the material world are decorations of the dead body. The conditioned soul has no information of the spirit and its exalted existence beyond the effects of the material condition. Translation again. In the same way, O my gentle mother, when the mind is agitated by the movements of the modes of material nature, the living entity, although it freed from all the different phases of the subtle and gross bodies, thinks that he has changed from one condition to another. Om Agyana Tamaranda Shagana Jashlaka Chakshwarma Tamina Tasman Shigara Vedama Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Mangai Tegram Yakripata Maham Bande Shigurum Dinatarnam. So Haranyakashipu is not an ordinary demon. And he's fully versed in transcendental knowledge. Just like Kamsa, there's that famous speech he gives where he recognizes that his situation, the circumstances that he's been put into, are all a divine arrangement. He looks into the mirror, but he doesn't see his reflection. So he understands that his death is imminent. This is just one of the symptoms. But he's giving a very nice explanation how nobody can kill anyone. This is Krishna is describing in Bhagavad Gita. The soul is neither slain nor slays. But somehow or other, under illusion, we're considering that these bodies and the self are one. And so that if I kill this person, or if this person kills me, everything is finished. Problem solved. But these are not the causes of our problems. Those things which are agitating the living entity and disturbing the mind, these are the adiatmic, adibhautik, adidaivik. These are not they are external, but they are reactions based on our karma. How I interact with a situation, why one situation enrages me and another pleases me. Why am I so distressed when it is cold in the winter, but not in the summer? I am seeking cool, air-conditioned environment. Matraks parshas tukantaya. So these things are all a function of the mind only. And Haranyakashipu is clearly explaining this. There are some in the purport. It describes one symptom of this disturbed mind as the restless movement of the eyes. So even though we have seen so many persons afflicted by this, how many people knew that the Vedas have given their conclusion that this is the symptom of a disturbed mind? These eyes moving rapidly back and forth. We've seen. If anyone has met, in New York City there are many disturbed people. And sometimes you cannot speak to them, because if you look at them, their eyes are just constantly moving back and forth. So this is the symptom of a mentally disturbed person. Actually, everyone's mind is disturbed, whether it is seen externally by the movements of these eyes or not. And the only time one can understand who is not disturbed is that person who is giving submissive oral reception to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Who can sit and listen and who can appreciate that person, his mind is not disturbed. So many times we see people come in our big centers, they'll sit for some time and then they'll go away. Because the mind is not controlled. There's that story that Srila Prabhupada describes. He was in Chaitanya Math. He was hearing a lecture of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And just like here, we see the doors close, the doors open. But if the speaker is sitting on the asana, he's reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, no one expects that someone will get up just to have darshan. Darshan is available here all the time, under so many circumstances. But one disciple got up. Just imagine Srila Bhaktisiddhanta sitting there, or even Srila Prabhupada sitting there. And one disciple, not just visitor, disciple got up, walked away from the class to the opposite end, and had darshan. So then the artik finished, he came and he sat down again. And Srila Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta said, "Oh, what did you see?" And the person described, "Oh, I saw that Krishna's having nice mukut and nice venu and nicely dressed, such and such color, such and such garland." And what did Srila Bhaktisiddhanta say? He said, "Simply eye exercise. Simply eye exercise." The opportunity to hear from this, the self-realized pure devotee, is tantamount, is the ultimate source of all knowledge, that which can actually liberate us. What can our eyes do? These eyes are not the source of liberation. Someone is thinking just by meditating. Yes, we can meditate. How beautiful the deity is. Our minds should be attracted to the deity more than anything else. That's why deity worship is recommended for the grihasthas especially. For the neophytes in general. Because one needs to fix his mind. It is essential. Until one is free from these anattas, anatta nivritti, until he comes to this level, then what is his actual vision? When I was chanting this morning the Jai Radha Madhava, so I'm sure everyone has their own realization. But when I'm chanting Jai Radha Madhava, I'm seeing Srila Prabhupada chant Jai Radha Madhava. Because what else can I see? I can see Radha Madhava with my external vision only. But I've actually seen Srila Prabhupada. So therefore, that is my shelter. Another interesting anecdote. When Prabhupada was leaving New York for the first time in 1967, just prior to going to San Francisco, for 2 years he had been preaching in New York. 1 year alone, 1 year establishing the society, 1 year taking care of new devotees, doing everything. Some things, many old devotees used to say, how after so many years they felt so ashamed. They used to use Srila Prabhupada's bathroom because there was not enough. One devotee's name was Alankar, another devotee, Bhaktajana. Their apartments were used as the brahmacharya ashram. But not everybody could take shower at the same time, so some would walk around the corner from Delancey to Srila Prabhupada, to the apartment on 2nd Avenue, and use Srila Prabhupada's bathroom. Not just use his bathroom, but use his towel. You know, you can understand this, how thoughtless we were. So anyway, Srila Prabhupada is leaving for the first time, so the devotees are bewildered. They're saying, "Srila Prabhupada, what should we do? Who should give class? Who should give class?" So Prabhupada said, "You all should give class." And they said, "Srila Prabhupada, what should we speak about?" He said, "You should speak according to your realization." So many years later, Satsarupa Maharaj told us, when he was writing down, planting the seed, Leelamrita, He said those were the shortest classes ever given in ISKCON history. Nothing lasted more than 10 minutes. Because everyone is speaking only according to their realization. We can speak so many things, but what is our actual realization? If we realize that we have encountered the mercy of a pure devotee, that somehow or other by Krishna's arrangement, this, what is that description there? That in the entire ocean, which is, it's inconceivable. If one is in the ocean, he seems insignificant. But in that ocean, there is a, it's described that there's a piece of wood floating. And in the wood, there is a hole. And in that ocean, one tortoise, he pops his head through the hole in that piece of wood. So that is compared to the opportunity one gets to meet the pure devotee of Krishna. This is such a rare thing. Inconceivably rare. And anyone coming and taking advantage who does not, somehow or other, neglects to fully surrender, because this level of realization we can have, that by meeting a pure devotee, everyone can appreciate that this is not some ordinary person. How he speaks, how he talks, how he sits, how he plays the kartals, how he chants. We used to wait for Srila Prabhupada. In those days, everything is by cassette. Srila Prabhupada would record these bhajans. And for us, these you see the karmis, they're always waiting for the next movie to come out, the next installment of their favorite television show. This, that, but we used to wait for Srila Prabhupada, when will the next bhajan come? This was our hankering. When will we get the opportunity to have this nectar? Because this was nectar, and we would listen to it continuously. In whatever service we had, whether you were washing pots or anything, we used to carry around these cheap tape recorders, just blasting Srila Prabhupada. Because one's mind is completely fixed in that transcendental vibration. This is transcendental. My seeing the vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through these materially contaminated senses, this has value. Impression is there, better than any other impression. But the real value is established by my attachment to the spiritual master, who will, by his mercy, deliver us, not by my own efforts. So many examples are there. This realization we have when we're out. We used to do street theater in the old New York temple. We had Vaikuntha players. And there was, from the 1960s, there was this, what they called guerrilla theater. People would do not spontaneous, but dramatic interpretations of certain events. So we had very many expert artists at that time, early devotees of Srila Prabhupada, Mother Janava, Nanda Kishore, Mother Rasa Gya, so many devotees. And they were expert in their acting. Prabhupada would sit and watch them, and he would be ecstatic watching them do different plays. And one play on the street that many people could relate to was this, the drowning man. The drowning man. And Mother Rasikya would come out and she'd be screaming and fainting, my husband, save my husband. Please save my husband. And people would, the devotees would come in and they'd pretend the person would be there on the ground and they'd pull at his jacket and the jacket would come off. And she'd say, that's not my husband, that's just his clothing. That's his external garments, like this. And in this way, clothing by clothing, no one could save that drowning man. because I don't know who is the drowning man. The drowning man is that spirit soul. But we're only saving, we're giving some material assistance, like these so-called humanitarian efforts. Even Hirani Kashipu is giving knowledge of the soul, which obviously had the effect of alleviating his dear mother and the wives of his brother, his sister-in-laws, of their lamentation. Because that is the effect of knowledge. But it was not sufficient to bring them to the level where they could surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is our only purpose in establishing temples. Srila Prabhupada said these temples are only for making devotees, giving people the opportunity to come and serve Krishna. They are not for some other reason, establishing some cultural institution. These things everybody's doing. If you go down now, when we were here years ago, there was nothing from here to National Highway, only forests. Mango groves, forest, Nilgai, nothing else. And now you have just a few kilometers, acres and acres of one big building. And it looks like some theme park. And people are going there. But what are they getting? What are they getting? They get some souvenirs. They get some tilak stamps. They get some, but they're not getting Krishna. So this is how we distinguish and differentiate the temples established by Srila Prabhupada. And a person who comes here, he gets the opportunity to associate with the pure devotee through his books, through his bhajans, through his pravachan. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada. So it is such an important endeavor that such temples like this, these are the oasis in the desert of the material world, where the man dying of thirst crawls, and with his last effort, he drinks the nectar of the devotee, giving him some Mahaprasadam and some of Srila Prabhupada's books. Because there is no... Sometimes even in ISKCON, we run this unfortunate situation that we don't know what is Mahaprasadam. We have these booths everywhere all over the campus, Mahaprasadam. But is it actually Mahaprasadam? Was it on the plates of Sri Sri Radha Shamsunda, Sri Sri Gornitai, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram? So there's a difference. One has to be very careful. And just like listening to Srila Prabhupada, this is one thing. Listening to others, that's breaking the four regulative principles. That's gambling. Why gamble? If I can hear from the pure devotee, does anyone dispute that Srila Prabhupada was a pure devotee? If you go anywhere, into any place, doesn't matter here, there, whatever moth it is, there's no one who will dispute that Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee. Or that he did what no one else could do. No one else could do. So in the material world, things, brand and reputation is the single most important marketing quality, marketing technique. Everybody builds their name, their reputation, brand loyalty. We are the best. We have the best construction, the best this, the best that, whatever it is. The best car, the best air conditioner, the best microphone. But no one else can say that they have Srila Prabhupada. No one else. So this is the benefit. This is why Srila Prabhupada said, anyone who thinks he can make advancement outside of ISKCON is living in a hallucination. was not casually said. It was not meant to, how can you say, be some remark that was casually taken, but it was meant for those who actually are the followers of Srila Prabhupada, for their understanding. And those who are not followers, they will never understand. And that's okay. But Mahaprasada is Mahaprasada. I remember when we tried different things. We had a big temple in Manhattan. We had many temples, in there, three temples in the early stages of New York preaching were in Manhattan. Second Avenue Temple, 26 Second Avenue, then 61 Second Avenue. And then after that, we went to Brooklyn for some years, 1969 to 1975. In 1975, we moved back to Manhattan, 340 West 55th Street. This was Prabhupada's dream from the very beginning, have his big skyscraper building. He called it skyscraper. It was 11 stories, not a skyscraper when you think of all the other buildings around, but Prabhupada called it his skyscraper. And we had very nice arrangements. Prabhupada had the top floor, 11th floor. And we constructed beautiful quarters for him, like a penthouse. And the only complaint he had was that in New York all the time there is blazing fire. He used that as the analogy, not sangsara dhavanavali daloka. In the material world, always blazing fire, ka, ka, ka. There's a firehouse just behind our building, next avenue, next street over. And it, all through the day and night, there's fires in New York City. So the fire engines would come out and the horns would blare and the sirens would scream. But it didn't matter, Srila Prabhupada was not sleeping. He would never sleep. But in that building we had a restaurant called Govinda's. This was, at that time, the first successful Govinda's restaurant. And Prabhupada was very proud. You'll see Prabhupada, there are many photos of him asking questions on the line, how it was nicely prepared. But the main thing, the essential component of the success of that restaurant, which I had the good fortune to run for a number of years, was that everything was offered to Radha Govinda. Everything prepared and served was from the Raj Bhog directly, just made in quantities for hundreds of people, including the deities. And I think there anyone who was ever there would say that, yes, this was one of the best ISKCON restaurants ever. And so many people used to come. And the attractive feature was that, just like a simple analogy from my limited realization, was that when Krishna became the cow and cowherd boys to fool Lord Brahma, who had stolen them, the mothers became immediately affectionate beyond their normal capacity. And they didn't understand why. No one understood why. The cows had the same extra affection because Krishna was personally manifesting himself. So this Mahaprasadam is not an ordinary thing. Like I said, someone who's claiming Mahaprasadam, but have to be very careful in our definitions. People are changed. Their whole lives are changed. So many devotees became devotees through the agency of Mahaprasadam. Prabhupada called it our secret weapon. We should never dilute our success formula. We should never try to make it cheap just to give it a label, just to make some income. Otherwise, we lose, what did Prabhupada say here in Vrindavan? We lose the bhav. If we're content to give the deity some old flowers, or let the temple become broken, Prabhupada said, then it will simply become a go-down. Everyone knows what a godown is, a warehouse. Typically, a warehouse is not a very clean place. Everything is just thrown in, dusty, dirty, nobody cares for it. So he said that the temple will become a godown if there's no bhava, no sentiment, no love for the spiritual master. A matter of fact, he was saying that you will blame the spiritual master. You will think that this rascal spiritual master has given me such a burden. So we should never become so unfortunate that we think we have been given a burden. Prabhupada has given us the greatest jewel of Krishna consciousness. Nothing can compare. But if we are not appreciative, if we are not daily thinking how fortunate I am that I have come, then yes, gradually the opportunity will be removed by your neglect, by your complacency, because you're not taking care of it. Just like I may have something very nice, but I no longer keep it nice. I don't, whatever it is, you know, your scooter, your car, your this, gradually it will fall apart. So that is your bhakti lata kripa. You're not chanting your rounds nicely. You're not trying to appreciate the purpose for which I am chanting my rounds. Chaita Darpana Marjanam Bhava Maha Devagni Nirvapanam. This cleansing process. I can't wash a pot and look at the YouTube. I need the two hands just for anything else. But we're so easily distracted that we pay so little attention and we take it so casually. But this is the primary means of our success. What to speak of other things? Not that we can neglect this foundational activity and then go and see some Ras Lila. In the old days, some devotees were going outside during this rainy season. Anyone who's here in the summer. The summer is actually a very nice season in Vrindavan. Very quiet. No disturbance. Not too many tourists. Not a lot of rush. Very peaceful. You can do your service. You can appreciate Vrindavan in a different mood. Vrindavan has so many facets, like a sparkling jewel. If one gets the opportunity to stay here long enough, season after season, year after year, he gets a small glimmer of the real Vrindavan. He doesn't concentrate on the external Vrindavan. He gets to see Vrindavan through Srila Prabhupada's eyes. So anyway, there were these devotees and they were going outside. So the temple commander at that time, he informed Srila Prabhupada, this is the temple commander's duty. Temple commander doesn't mean that he's just in charge of cleaning. He's the gatekeeper. Any nonsense which is going on, he's supposed to report back to the temple president, back to the math acharya, and say, this is going on. There's some apparent deviation. And these devotees are going outside, Prabhupada. They're not listening to your lectures. They're not listening in the temple. And Prabhupada said, tell them if they go outside, they can stay outside. This is clear. It should be clear. What is the need? Prabhupada used to ask devotees, have you read all my books? And what to speak? What is the next question? Have you understood them? But we see that manifest by those who have dedicated their lives. They're not, they want to, their only desire is to serve Krishna. Their only desire is to serve Srila Prabhupada. Because we cannot serve Krishna directly. But we can serve Srila Prabhupada. So we have to be very, very focused. Vyavasayami Gabuti, Ekeha Kuru Nandana. I have a tendency to use this verse because it reminds me, what is my duty? It is my duty to be focused, you know, on that path which has been illuminated by Srila Prabhupada. Anything else is a risk. And there's too much risk in one life. Why expose? Someone says radiation. Anyone has experience with radiation? It is invisible, but it is deadly. And if you have too much exposure, it builds up in your body. It resides in your bones. So it's very dangerous because it contaminates your blood. Your whole body becomes radioactive and then you die of radiation poisoning. You don't even know until it's too late. So people have to wear these special badges that turn colors or register so that they know that I've been exposed to a higher level of radiation than I am, than safe or acceptable. So we have none of badges like this. What protects us is our relationships with our God brothers and our God sisters. They tell us, Prabhu, what are you doing? I saw you going outside listening to that Baba. Why are you listening to that Baba? What are you thinking? Or Prabhu, I saw you didn't chant your finish your rounds yesterday. Or the day before. What's going on? You know, it's not that because, you know, Srila Prabhupada gets down off the Vyasasthana and says, hey, you didn't chant your rounds or you didn't do that. No. He's acting through this association. That's why he said, these temples are to make devotees and to keep association and to stay strong. So that's why it's a little dangerous in the Grihastha ashram, because your wife is not going to criticize you. Well, maybe some wives. Some expert wife who knows diplomacy and tact. Maybe she can tell you. You haven't been chanting your rounds. Otherwise, it's your God brothers and your God sisters. If they're actually your friends, they know that your real need is to remain strong in Krishna consciousness. And how can you become strong if you're exposed to Maya? Like this subtle radiation, as it gradually builds up until it's too late. You know, everyone knows, you used to come down to temple commander, you're looking for such and such person. Where did he go? Oh, he left last night. How do they leave? They don't leave proudly, boldly, walk out the front door. They leave in the dark in the middle of the night because they know it's wrong. They slipped out the side door. Why? Because they don't want anyone to preach to them. So if someone doesn't want you to preach to them, they're already in Maya. These are just practical things. This is nothing. This is not rocket science. Hiranyakashipu was preaching to his mother and his sister-in-law. He was just preaching. He was giving them very basic knowledge. This is second chapter Bhagavad Gita knowledge. By Prabhupada's mercy, we have this. But in the material world, no one has this elevated knowledge. So we're tasked gratefully tasked with distributing this knowledge. Very simple, nothing complex. We're not trying to, you know, when we attract someone, Prabhupada is doing the talking. We're just giving the book. What can we do? What can we say? You know, Prabhupada gave that example. What can you, in your 3 minutes talking, what can you accomplish? But we try. We make the effort. There's no loss. We make the effort. But it's a very simple process. We just have to remain in the association of devotees, chanting, dancing, and feasting. How simple can it be? But yet we have so many excuses. No, I can't do this. Can't. And the solution is the same as always. Chant. So we want to please Srila Prabhupada, we want to please Krishna. We don't necessarily have to become big philosophers. We don't have to become big anything. We simply have to become faithful servants. How difficult is that? In the material world, of course, nowadays relationships are not taken seriously. Man and woman, they get married and after 1 or 2 years is divorce. Why? What is the reason? Because this faith is not there. I don't have faith. So many things. Maybe this person is saying this or this person is doing this. In my profession, people ask us all the time, oh, my husband is cheating, my wife is cheating. I want to know. You know. Already they know, but they want proof. What is that proof? They want to see with their eyes. But already in their hearts they know, because they can tell. So if we're cheating on Krishna, he can also tell. It's like the spouse being cheated on. They have a feeling. And when we go do this work, we bring them back evidence. And then what do they say? I knew it. If you knew it, then why did you hire me and pay so much money? But they wanted to see for themselves this confirmation. Our confirmation is that we have seen the pure devotee. So many people, how fortunate we are. And all over the world, there are millions and millions of Christians. They have never seen Jesus Christ. Millions and millions of Muslims. They have never seen Muhammad. And none of these people have seen God. But we have actually seen that person, Srila Prabhupada, who was, and we could understand with our even our limited intelligence, that this person has seen God, was seeing God in every single situation. So this was his mercy that we could understand that. Don't waste it. Don't lose it. Because it is very difficult. You know, someone who, try telling someone, just like try telling anyone, you know, we encounter Christians and other people when we're out preaching in the street, and they just have their version of everything. That's it. They can't be moved. And we understand. We're also fixed in our realization. But you see that many of us were already Christians, so we understand the nature of their realization is based on superficial intellectual appreciation. There is actually no realization. It is not pratyaksha vagamam dharmyam. It is not the king of knowledge. No. It is not the purest knowledge. And it does not give direct perception of the self by realization. And it is not everlasting and joyfully performed. So if we understand that, we have to be examples for others. Because we have seen the chaos that is caused by those who adopt a high position and then leave. So having seen that, one should have that much more desire to remain fixed, serving Srila Prabhupada, serving the Parampara, and helping those the same way we were helped. The Karmis have a saying, they say, pass it forward, pay it forward. Means if you've received some favor, some gift, you should pass it along. You don't just keep it. You pass it along. So this is what we're doing. This is the Sankirtan Yajna. This is the Yuga Dharma. For so many years, it was kept closed by the caste brahmanas, that nobody could have this. But Mahaprabhu broke open this lockbox, this treasure house, storehouse of knowledge, and he distributed it freely. So we are the beneficiaries. And now we have the opportunity to pass it forward. And if we do not, then we, what happens? We become ineligible for the, what does that say? Tatenu kampam susamikshamano. One becomes automatically eligible for the inheritance of the father's estate. He simply has to remain faithful. The son who goes outside the house, he gets no share. But the son who remains faithful, he gets his equal portion. And we're also trying to make new beneficiaries so that this movement continues on. Otherwise, there is a danger, no doubt. People have seen wherever the preaching stops, things become minimized. So the preaching must remain very, very strong. And for that to happen, everyone has to be firmly convinced. And they have to listen to the temple commander. You know, he's not just waking you up for his sake. It's a thankless task. Anyone who has done this, he knows. He doesn't get any love from those he's waking up. Internally, they're cursing him. Oh, why are you waking me up? I want to sleep more. But what is he saying? He's ringing the bell and he's saying, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. Wake up, sleeping soul. How long will you sleep on the lap of the witch called Maya? So we encourage everyone to take responsibility for this movement, personal responsibility, not that the next person will do it. Personal responsibility means some tangible activity. Why just, you know, a few people, one person, temple commander? Automatically the temple commander, he's being trained up. This is Prabhupada's method. Everyone should do everything. Begin by washing the pots. He's being trained how to become fixed, determined, detached. He understands everything is Krishna's. Tadiyanam. This pot is also Krishna. The floor of the temple is also Krishna. Everything is Krishna. Else, how do we learn as neophytes? by treating everything the way Srila Prabhupada instructed us as Krishna. And therefore, he gains realization. He wants to serve others. He wants to preach. He wants to distribute books. And then he wants to train others how to distribute books. And then he wants to do a bigger service. Sometimes Krishna will give an opportunity. Become the temple president. It is not a post like Lord Brahma. You have to take millions of births. It is something that you can use that can expand your service and to help others to expand their service and to facilitate others in their service. That's all. And then other people will go and they will open their own temples. They will feel enlivened. They will feel inspired that I will go and preach someplace. Where can I preach? How can I do this? How did this ISKCON grow? Every devotee joined and did the exact same thing, washing pots. This is a common theme. So I pray that everyone gets the opportunity to wash Krishna's pots, to get Krishna's mercy, and that everyone has the opportunity to serve Krishna to their best capacity, and to push this movement forward for the next 10,000 years. Any questions or comments? Ideas? Dear Temple President.
Everyone thinks that their process is the best process, that their guru is the best guru. Why are we so elitist that we get the best?
We're not elitist. Yes. Prabhu had a very nice question. He said, everyone thinks that they have the highest philosophy, the best guru, the best process. So why are you devotees? Why do you think that you have the best? Actually, we don't think. We know. But that's besides the point. We try to be very accommodating to those who do think that they have the best, by giving them an opportunity to speak. Prabhupada's specific tactic and strategy when dealing with atheistic people or people who thought they had everything or knew everything was that he said, let them speak. Let them speak. Because eventually they run out of something to say. What can they say? Yes. It's very finite, their conceptions. Okay, they say that Jesus Christ is God. Okay, but where does it, how do you know that Jesus Christ is God? Because he said so. But what is your realization in this regard? How is he, they have so many things that they can't, there's like one specific example that when I was young, Christian, working with the priest directly, they had what they call baptism, christening. And they're giving this christening because everyone is born into the world with sin, called original sin. And why do they have this conception? Because they cannot explain, due to ignorance, poor fund of knowledge, they cannot explain variety of existence. The material world is filled with variegatedness. So, and every human being is different. If the Supreme Lord, their God, is all good, then why is some living entity born with so many birth defects? One is born beautiful, one is born ugly, one is born with this defect, one is born with that defect. Why is that? So therefore they had to rack their brains and come up with this theory of original sin. because they don't understand the law of karma, action and reaction. Everyone takes birth according to his previous pious or impious activities. And then, therefore, they give some absolution. And they say, okay, now he has a clean slate. But that didn't answer, that didn't solve the philosophical obstacle that they can't explain. So it may not be apparent in the first conversation. So that's why we're very nice. And we just, what do? We give them prasadam. Because again, that's the secret weapon. So many people would come not to hear us preach, but just to take prasadam, and that's fine. But those who are taking prasadam regularly, finally they ask, how is this food different? And we can explain that, yes, this is different, because it is offered with love and devotion to the Supreme Lord. And the devotees have a higher and a deeper love for Krishna. There is no doubt. There are Christians who love God. But the bottom line is, they don't know who God is. So how can they actually love him? So their love is for a concept with which they are vaguely familiar. That God is all good, all knowing. But they don't know who he is. They don't know what he looks like. And they say, well, you don't really know. But we say, well, that's a different thing. You want to go back to that point. So you're acknowledging that you don't know. And then you're saying, because you don't know, you think we don't know. So there are so many ways to speak to these people if you really want to carry on. But it has to be cordial. We used to get people coming into our Bhakti program. We ran Bhakti program. Another good experience for anyone who wants to run a temple, become a Bhakti leader. And especially in New York City, where there's every possible combination of material mind that exists in the material world, I think. And so one thing that my godbrother Urjaswat, he always used to say, he would catch them. They would come and they would have so many questions. And he would say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Because, you know, you try to speak to them, and as soon as you give them a response, they want to just immediately refute it or this. And he would just cut them close. He would say, wait a second. If you have a question, you don't have an answer. So what's your question? That's the first thing. What's your question? Because if you had an answer, you wouldn't be asking me. So everyone has to be humble. This is the point. Tadvidi pranipatena pari prashnena sevya. We know this. And we find that when people come, whether it was us and we had that realization that when we came and we acted in a certain way, we got Prabhupada's mercy. And we saw others act differently and they didn't get Prabhupada's mercy. That's a realization. Small realization. But it's a realization. We saw it. We saw how Prabhupada interacted with others. We saw what pleased him and what didn't. And from that we can understand what pleases Krishna and what doesn't. So someone can't say that I know how to please Krishna. If he has not experienced this firsthand with the pure devotee. Because he has not seen anyone who has pleased Krishna outside of the pure devotee. He is not pleased. He can only think something. This mental speculation is the most dangerous thing. It's imagination. If I go sit in this Ras Lila, like Prabhupada was saying, what am I? I'm hearing them and they're talking all these things, and what am I trying to do? This is all mental imagery. It is not real. Yes, you can think that, oh, I was with Krishna once and now I'm getting these memories back. But that's a real stretch. Very dangerous position. So we want to be very careful, very gentle, very understanding, very compassionate. but very firm. You know, Kanishta, when one tries to preach and he's a Kanishta Adhikari, he can become swayed. That's why it's very dangerous for the Kanishta. He goes out, he listens to someone else, and he gets turned away from the path. He gets turned away from the path. And we've seen it happen. But if one holds on very tightly, and it's not, like I said, this holding on tightly, it's not a metaphor. It's not that you go and you grab Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet at the Murti and you hold on like this. But Prabhupada has given us service. And that service has to be held on tightly. And if you don't have it, you must find it. Otherwise, you're not situated. Why do we use these terms like that? Situated, fixed. What does that mean? It means I am firmly established in devotional service that has been authorized by the spiritual master. Not my mind, not someone else's mind. You know, like I said, if you've been around long enough, you've seen people come and go. We can learn from their mistakes. They're actually doing us a great service in one sense. That I should not make that same mistake. I should be not, you know, I should not, what did we, in the old days, we used to call it blooping. Blooping. Achyutananda Prabhu, a good friend, he was the first person to coin the term. One of Prabhupada's first disciples. He has so many nice stories. Listening to these stories of Prabhupada, I get great inspiration. Hearing about Prabhupada from his servants, from those who had association with him, this enlivens me. I'm also enlivened by Krishna's pastimes, but truthfully, at my level of realization, my small level of realization, I'm much safer hearing about Srila Prabhupada. Because this is the person whom I want to follow. Those are the footsteps. This is the person I want to please. So it's a clear channel for me. Nothing complicated. Any other questions or... Srila Prabhupada ki jai.